You can open your Bibles, but I think the booklets have a copy of what we're reading today, which is Matthew 28, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 all the way through to the end, verse 20. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Now, as we've mentioned, we are looking this morning at the first words of Jesus after he rose from the dead. And when we talk of first words today, you know, I mean, maybe there are moments for you that are quite memorable. Often when we think of first words, we are thinking of the first words of a child, aren't we? Maybe even the first words of your child. You might remember, you might be able to even remember what they were. It's always something of a competition, isn't it? Is it going to be daddy? Is it going to be mummy? For us, with one of our kids, it ended up being, well, one of his first words ended up being Mimi, which actually just meant, "Give me my dummy, please," which was something of an anticlimax, but you take what you can get, right? But, you know, we remember first words, don't we? The first words are important. But actually, the words that we're talking about for Jesus today, they are quite different, aren't they? The words that we have here for Jesus are different because, I mean, this is, it's not when you expect to hear first words, is it? This is actually after Jesus has died. But now he's alive again. So it's not, I mean, it's not when you expect to hear first words. And these words are different because, unlike the cute words of a child, these words have just a significant gravity to them. They're a bit like maybe the first speech of a prime minister after he or she has been elected, or maybe even the first speech of a king or a queen as they come to the throne. It's their first speech, and so we sense that this is a moment of gravity, and we listen with interest. And that's the kind of thing that we have here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through to 20. That's where we'll spend our time. Jesus here, he's risen from the dead. And yes, there's been some initial greetings and personal moments, such as in verses 9 and 10. But this really is the first speech that Matthew records for us after the resurrection. This is significant. And what you have in this moment is an extraordinary claim. I mean, listen to what is said here in verse 18. We read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Okay, what an extraordinary claim. He says he has all authority. This really is the speech of a king. And actually, this is no ordinary king, for he has all authority in heaven and on earth. What this is saying is, whether you're in, you know, New York City or Tokyo or London or Brisbane, or whether you're even up in heaven with the angels, there is one who's being given complete authority over it all. And that is Jesus. It's just this amazing claim to make. And he means it. He means it, we can tell, because he tells his disciples in the following verses that they are to speak to him of all nations, and that people must be taught to follow all things that he's commanded, and that this is to continue always until the end of the age. Okay, can you just hear how universal and all-encompassing the language here is? Listen to it, verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Quite something, isn't it? There's just no gaps, it would appear, it's saying, in Jesus' authority. Now, when we think of this, it is quite something. I mean, if someone were to say something like that to you today, I think that you would suggest they visit a doctor, right? But it's interesting. When you read the historical accounts of Jesus, he just doesn't come across as crazy. And so what is going on here? How can Jesus claim such authority? Well, the answer to that is the resurrection. Jesus has just been raised from the dead. Okay, if you were there at this time, it would have been obvious to you, I think, that Jesus was one with supreme authority. Jesus has just come alive again from the dead. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that death wasn't able to hold him. It just couldn't hold him there because he'd done already everything that was needed to pay for our sin. And so when you see someone who can't even be held by death, you know that this isn't your average person, don't you? See, in the Bible, the resurrection is actually the great declaration of Jesus' authority. This is why Paul in one place says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. See, the resurrection says in just this really visible way that Jesus has authority. It's interesting, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, he gives this whole long Bible talk on Jesus' resurrection. It's fascinating where he finishes that Bible talk. He finishes it in this way. He says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah," or King. See, that's what the resurrection teaches us. It teaches us that Jesus is Lord. You know, I don't know how many of you here maybe have doubts about Christianity. If that is you, I'd say definitely really welcome to be here. Glad that you're here. And what I'd also want to say to you is that, you know, if you have questions about Christianity, actually a really great place to start is with the resurrection. You know, in both of our Easter giveaways, there are chapters in there on, you know, why would we actually believe the resurrection as true? Because, I mean, the resurrection really is just so important. Because if the resurrection is true, it just confirms that there really is something that is extraordinary about Jesus, that he's just not some other teacher among many, that there is something that is so out of the ordinary about him. Now, if you want a reason to believe that Jesus is worth following, what would do that for you? What would do it? I mean, you might have different answers to that question, but could I suggest that surely if there is good reason to think that really Jesus really has risen from the dead, then surely that would be fairly compelling reason to follow him. And so this really is just such a crucial matter to work through because so much hangs on it. The resurrection declares in the most unmistakable way that Jesus is Lord. And so what does all of this mean for us? And what are the take-homes for us? Can I suggest two things that this means for us? Firstly, and this is just extending on what we've already been talking about, but it's worth pausing on. Firstly, Jesus has claim over me and over you. Okay, it's just so clear in what Jesus has been saying, isn't it? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says that this is news for all the nations. It's for everyone. And then he even teaches that we owe him allegiance in everything. The disciples are to teach others to obey everything that I've commanded them. And so, I mean, how huge is this? Where to give Jesus allegiance in everything? What a massive thing to say. I suppose in one way, just the extent of Jesus' claim is shocking, isn't it? It really is. But actually, in another way, if we've really grasped what the resurrection says about Jesus, that he is the universal king over all things given from God, and that he's actually proved that authority through resurrection itself, if that's the case, then it actually does make sense that our lives are wholly given to him. And of course, in some areas of our lives, we're going to feel okay with that. But still, for all of us, there's going to be areas where that's tough. You know, the thought that there is that person that I really ought to forgive, or that habit that I really ought to break, or that I ought to apologise for my short temper, or to put away lying or stealing or bitterness or whatever it may be, there are going to be areas in my life where actually for Jesus to have a claim over me is going to mean change. And from this perspective, Jesus' authority over all things can actually feel quite daunting. But that's where our second take-home point is so important, and that is that Jesus is able to help. Okay, we see that there in verse 20, don't we, where Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' words there are meant to be words of comfort. He's saying that though the road can be hard for his disciples, yet the good news is that the disciple of Jesus has the one with all authority on their side. And so they need not fear because he is always with us and he is able to help. You know, for the disciple of Jesus, as we day by day face our failures, as we day by day face the ways that we don't match up, What do? Well, we go to our risen Lord Jesus, the one who is Lord even of heaven and earth itself, the one who has authority even to forgive sins. He can help us. He's the one who couldn't even be held by the grave because he had so thoroughly defeated sin. And so as we face our sin, we go to Jesus. As we face our troubles in life too, what do? Well, we go to Jesus, the King. He's the one who has power to help, and he's promised to be with us always. Okay, what does a child want as they say they wake up in the night and they are afraid? They want someone with them who cares for them, who's able to help them. They want mum and dad. And for us, we want someone who is with us, who's able to help us so that we are not alone, knowing that we have someone who can help. And, you know, even as we face, well, even death, where do we go? Well, there is no other place to go, for Jesus has authority even over death, and he's actually proved it, so that we can go to him and know that there's eternal life in him, even resurrection life in him. Jesus says in one place, "Do not be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death." So even in the face of death, if we have Jesus, we have reason not to fear, because he has authority over all things. And so what an amazing thing it is that we celebrate here this morning, and that in fact we celebrate every Sunday morning as we meet on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. What an amazing thing it is that we celebrate, because in the resurrection we have the declaration, the great declaration of who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so he's our King. He directs our lives. And we can find help from him in all the troubles of life, even as we face our own failures, even as we face death itself. Jesus is the one who has all authority. And so we are able to look to him. Well, I'm conscious that there's big ideas here to wrestle with, so definitely love to chat more with you over morning tea about this, answer any questions, but why don't we pray together as we close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, extraordinary words we have here this morning that Jesus spoke, that he has all authority. Thank you for the resurrection, for that marker of who he is and for all that he's accomplished. Thank you for his kingship, and may we live in the direction and in the hope that he brings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.